Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
A couple things before we get going. Our very first employee, Janet Hestelow. Janet is still with us. I told her, I said, I want you to be my administrative assistant. And I said, and this is what the salary is. And she took the job before she ever knew there was a salary. And is still with us. Janet, would you stand up, please? You've been with us for 29 years. And then one of our other board members, Daniel, would you and Stephanie stand up? This is Daniel Smith and his wife, Stephanie, one of our board members. Appreciate you being here. I was thinking about that because as I was thinking about this time and thinking about 30 years, I was reminded of a passage. In fact, I've never preached on it that I know of here. It's when Moses was leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt. They came to a place in the wilderness and they were attacked by a group of people called the Amalekites. They were a pretty mean group. And Moses told Joshua, who was like his assistant, he said, I want you to pick some men and go down and fight with the Amalekites. He said, I'm going to go to the top of the hill. I'm going to stand on the hill with the rod of God. That was the staff that Moses used. He would spread it over the water. That's the one that he would throw down in front of Pharaoh and turned into a snake and he'd pick it up. So it represented the power of God. So I'm going to stand on the top of the hill with the power. And so as Moses stood there, he would lift his hands and he would hold the rod. And as long as he was doing that, Joshua and the Israelites were beating the Amalekites. But when his hands would drop, then the Amalekites would win. Well, you can only hold your hands up for just so long. And so he had two men that came with him, Aaron and Hur, H-U-R. And they set Moses on a rock, and they stood beside him and held up his hands. And holding up the hand, Israel won that battle. That has two applications. A personal application for all of us is when our hands are lifted, and Leland mentioned it, when our hands are lifted in praise, that's a weapon for us. And it puts us on the winning side. It puts us in a stronger position. We're focused on God. Our hands are lifted up. If you think about it, you go to a ball game. When someone scores, immediately people's hands just go up. But when our hands drop, it's a sign of defeat. And so we have an opportunity to always have an advantage against our enemy. But the other thing it reminded me of was the fact that Moses didn't win that battle. God equipped him, but Joshua was there. He was fighting. There were men fighting with him. Moses was there with the rod of God. And then Aaron and Hur were holding up his hands. And I think over the years, it's easy, especially in leadership. As a leader, you can be the point person. And people look at Alan and Joy, and leadership is a double-edged sword. We get more credit than we deserve and more blame than we deserve. But this church is not about Alan and Joy. This is a collaborative effort of a lot of people, of hundreds of volunteers, of staff people, of people who have prayed, people who have given, people who have supported. This goes to the glory of God, and this is a collaborative effort of a lot of people who have made this happen over the years. And thank you for those of you who have been a part of that. This morning, I want to talk just a brief time about where we're going. And when people think of vision, a lot of times they think of buildings and projects, and that's not what I want to talk about today. What I want to talk about is what we are to become. And what we are to become is really a mirror of what Jesus was. And I'm going to go back to the very first scripture passage that we used on that very first Sunday 30 years ago. And it's found in John, the 8th chapter. Jesus is talking. He said, early in the morning, Jesus, came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus raised himself up, he saw no one but the woman. He said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. It's a great passage. It's an unusual passage. When we were talking to Matthew, he said, that was your first message? I went, yeah. But that was also, I think, very prophetic in terms of who we would be as a church, what we would be. So Jesus sat down and he taught the people. Jesus, he did miracles, but he didn't only do miracles. He taught people. He taught people about the kingdom of God. He taught people about how to live a different life. He didn't talk like the scribes and Pharisees. There was life in his words, and Jesus taught the people. That was one of his very first ministries. His second ministry was that he did not allow the negative voices to control the negative, to the narrative. They didn't control him. These people, these religious voices, they weren't interested in this woman at all. They had no compassion for this woman at all. All they were trying to do is prove a point, and Jesus did not answer them. I love the fact Jesus was so cool. I mean, people would put pressure on him. He just wouldn't answer. And he's writing on the ground, and then when he stands up, he has an answer for them. It's not anger. It's not condemnation. He simply pinpoints their hypocrisy. Hey, he who is before you stoned this woman, the first person that hadn't sinned, let him go ahead and throw a stone first. And so this was pinpointing their hypocrisy, and they left. Jesus didn't condemn them, but he certainly had an answer for them. And then you see that Jesus was gracious to and gave a second chance to a guilty woman. She was guilty, but he did not condone what she had done, and he did not condemn her. And he was the only one that could have. He could have condemned her. He didn't. But he did give her a directive, and the directive was, go and sin no more. So he did give her a new way to go. And then I love the fact that after he did this, he turned to the people and said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. I wonder what happened to that lady. I often wonder what path did she get on after getting free and Jesus freed her up? What happened to her? She could have gone, one of three ways. One, she could have gone back to the same way she used to live, but she would never be the same because she already had an encounter with Jesus. And she knew that this way was going to be a dead end. She knew where to go to find answers. Or she could have been so appreciative and so grateful for what Jesus did and his grace. She changed her life. Her life turned around. She lived differently. It's kind of like, you know, if you've ever been stopped by a law enforcement officer for speeding, and I have, and sometimes they'll give you a warning. And if you've ever had a warning, you're just so appreciative of that warning. You got caught, but you're so appreciative of that warning that you drive very carefully for a few minutes, and then you... But this woman had to feel better about what Jesus did, had to be appreciative. And there was a third thing. She could have just become a full-blown follower of Jesus because he'd been so gracious to her. She changed her whole life. I hope the last one is the case. I'd love to see her there in heaven. When I look at the church and I look at what we're to become and what we are, this is what we take what Jesus did and becomes a mirror for us. Our mission, our impact as we move into the future, here's the first one. We are to proclaim and teach the good news. We will continue to proclaim and teach the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen, guys, we're living in a day where the lines are blurring between what's authentic and what's artificial. We're living in a day where there's a lot of voices out there, but there is a voice of truth, and we're going to stay with the Scriptures. We started with the Scriptures. We're going to stay with the Scriptures. That is the standard of truth, and that is the truth that makes people free. Amen. And so, again, sometimes people say, well, you know, that Bible, it's an ancient book. It's not relevant anymore. Let me tell you something. Spiritual truth never goes out of style and never loses its impact. It's always the case and always true. And we're staying with it. It's like that lady who was on a plane. She was on a plane. She sat down. She's looking out the window. She had the window seat. Man came and sat in the seat beside her. They introduced themselves, began to chat for a little bit. She reached down into her purse as the plane got going and pulled out her Bible. And he goes, oh, great. He said, I thought a lot of you until you brought that out. I said, you believe that book? She said, every word. He said, really? So you believe that a man named Jonah got swallowed up by a whale and stayed 3 days in the belly of a whale? He said, that's impossible. She said, no, I believe it. She said, well, I don't see how in the world that can happen. And so she said, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask him. And he looks at her. He says, what if he's not there? She looks at him, smiles, and said, then you can ask him. We're going to preach the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Here's the first verse that we use, and this is something that is really the foundational principle of how we teach around here. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, what Jesus has done for us, the grace he's done, saving grace, yes, but the grace that's healed us, the grace that set us free, the grace that makes us new creations, it's such a wonderful thing. We'll never exhaust all the grace and the riches that are in Christ. The love of God. We're continuing to talk about the love of God. People need to be rooted and grounded in love. When you're grounded in love, you're strong. And then the communion, the power of the Holy Spirit. He is not the weird uncle of the Godhead. He is the powerful living communicator. He is the one who counsels us. He's the one who helps us. Listen, we wouldn't have this church if it wasn't for the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And so this is what we'll continue to minister along. That's number one. Number two, that we will continue to be a light in our area. That we will be a light shining in our area. In John, the first chapter of John, it said that light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. There's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of negative voices. There are a lot of ungodly voices. And just as Jesus did not allow the ungodly voices to control the narrative, we won't either. There's a lot of voices. There's the voice of culture. There's the voice of social media. There's the voice of politics. There's the voice of the anti-God, the atheist. But we're not going to answer. We're not going to be angry. We're not going to condemn them. We're just going to continue to preach the truth and to be a voice of faith and hope and light and love in this area. And we're going to stay with that because that's what we're called to do. And we preach the gospel. I've often told people, I said, listen, when you come in here, we're not Republicans or Democrats. We are believers. We are Christians. And we exalt that name above every other name. And that's where we go. But not only are we to shine the light, we're to be the light. And we'll continue to reach out to our area. We'll continue to bless the people we are here to bless. I heard a man say something when we first started the church. He said, if God took your church out of the community, would the community even know it was gone? And those words haunted me. And I thought, you know, we need to change how we're doing things. We started working with the Salvation Army. We bought hazmat suits for the fire department. We determined that we're going to be a blessing to the people of this area. Whether they ever come to this church or not, we're here to bless. We're here to shine our light. The third thing is this. We provide a safe place for all kinds of people. Hebrews 11:7, Joy did such a wonderful job of referencing this morning. Hebrews 11:7 said, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. We're determined that we're going to reach households in this area that God called us to reach people. He said, well, what kind of people? All kinds of people. The ark was a picture of diversity. We're a picture of diversity. Someone asked me when we first got started, I'll never forget, they asked me, they said, Alan, what kind of people are you targeting? And the question caught me. I went, targeting? Yeah, like what kind of demographic are you targeting? I'm like, living people? And in my ignorance, that's all we've done is target living people, not yuppies, not white people, not black people, not Mexican people, not Hispanic, not Asian. Everybody is welcome here, regardless of what background they come from. It doesn't matter. If you're breathing, you can come in. That's how it works here. But we're also willing to target not just families, but households of one, and the lonely, and the happy, and the rich, and the poor, and the ones who are, the demographics mean they're on top, and the ones who are on the bottom, it's the addicted ones. Our word about us years ago was they will let anybody in that church, and that's exactly right. We will let anybody come into this church because we recognize that it was the grace of God that saved us, and it's the grace of God that will save them. So we continue to preach. So there are no perfect people. There's a perfect God, and we're the ones who are telling people, come on in, the water's fine. You definitely want to be in here. We're to be a safe place. And we're a place where people get a second chance. We're a second chance church. Joy mentioned our first church. She told me last night, we were talking about our first church. She said, Alan, it was a colossal failure. I said, honey, it wasn't big enough to be colossal. It was just a failure. But you know what? God gave us a second chance. And we believe that He gives second chances. And third and fourth and fifth. And His mercy is new every morning. And this is a place where people can come in and not be judged for their past, but recognize that in Christ they have a future and a hope and a life. A safe place. A people can come in and get another chance. What kind of impact will we have? Well, some people will come and be touched, and they'll go back to the same way. I ran across someone the other day. I walked in, they went, oh, this is a public place, this is near the mall. They said, oh, you're the preacher of the Ark. I need to get back in church. I didn't look at them and go, that's exactly right. I said, you're always welcome to come back. So they, even if they go back to their same lifestyle, they always know, listen, they always know that God touched their life and they know they can always come back. I believe it's many people who come, their lives are going to be impacted for the good. That their families will be blessed. They'll come out of addictions. They'll come out of depression. Things will change. Things will turn around in their life and their lives will be blessed. But then I hope for the most part, the thing I pray for is not that you're blessed. Oh, I pray that you're blessed. But I pray that you become a blessing. And one more thing, because if you noticed from those pictures, I'm not the same age I was when we started this church. Do you see what you have done to me? We are determined, even though I'm in my 60s, we are still determined that we will reach the next generation. We will reach the children and the young people and the people coming up in their 20s and in their 30s and in their 40s. Someone told me one time, said, Alan, you can only reach people 10 years older than you and 10 years younger than you. And I said, that is not a scripture. And as long as it's not a scripture, it's not the truth. And we'll continue to reach the next generations. We're going to reach. We're not content that just because we found the Lord, we're content to let a generation go to hell. We won't do it. And we will help them and the generation that's struggling with mental illness. We got answers for them. And there's strength in Christ, and there's answers in Christ, and we're going to proclaim that as well. Someone like myself who came out of depression and came out of panic attacks, I know the value of what Jesus can do in your life. And there's freedom, and there's hope, and there's a future right there. Some people ask you, they say, well, Alan, you're getting to be retirement age. Yep, and I've got friends that are retiring. But until the Lord tells me to, I'm not. So, and here's the deal. Now, we've got a lot of great young preachers coming up. I don't have to carry the ball the whole time. We've got a lot of good young preachers in this church. We got people coming up you haven't even heard yet. We got good ones. And we are blessed. And I told them, I said, I will go. I said, now when I start going, when I start ranting like this, carry me off. I'm done. But until then, we're going to stay with the assignment because I believe in my heart that God's best days are ahead for us as a church. And I believe that His best days are ahead for you as well. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? We never want to give. We never want to leave. We've done this almost every service. Rarely do we miss this, to give people a chance that if they don't know the Lord, that they can come to Him or come back. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and you say, Alan, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord, or, you know, I just know I've never come to Him. I've never received Him as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're like I was and you had received the Lord, but you got away from Him. We're going to say a prayer in just a moment. And this prayer is for you. If you're here and you say, you know, Alan, I know in my heart I need to receive the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But if that's you, and you would like our prayers, would you simply slip your hand up and say, Alan, would you pray for me? I know I need to receive the Lord. I know I need to come back to Him. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Say, Alan, that's me. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand and you wanted to. The beautiful thing is, obviously, if you're online, I can't see you. But the beautiful thing is, you have an opportunity. This is a heart thing. And so we're going to pray with you as a church family. If you're watching online, you're by yourself, pray it out loud with others, pray it quietly. If you're here, pray this prayer with us out loud. We're going to pray it together as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. And the head still bowed just for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer. For those who have come to You and those who have come back, we rejoice with them and we thank You for them. You love them. You have a wonderful plan for them. And we want to be a part of that. So thank You, Lord, for that opportunity. For those of us who know You and who have walked with You, thank You for one more day to tell You that we appreciate You. And we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.